Heaven, please. A half of the sermon. I'm glad you're here. I hope your mind is actually ready to function. Tonight, I think, if you're here and thinking, I will be able to give you something that will help you understand not only the scripture, but more importantly, how churches are moving. Behind me are going to represent five categories. Since I'm preaching, I have to represent the middle, which is biblical Christianity. According to your sheet, looking at it the way you look at it, over here is going to be legalism, legalism light, and then over far over here is liberalism and liberalism light. These are categories we talked about last week. There's going to be no surprise. But folks, take a look up here. There's nothing out there very interesting. You better get a grip on who you are and where you are, because churches are moving all over the place. And it's actually gotten to the part where legalism is not a problem in America very often. I don't know what churches are going to believe. We now have churches all over America scrambling to find a way to have gay marriage. Churches. You say, why? Because they want to have a big crowd. And man, if they can have 2,000 instead of 1,500, because everything is movement predominantly that direction today, which would be to your left. Let's stand and we'll read scripture together. Mark chapter 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. Now Pharisees are inherently considered by most American Christians legalist. I'm actually going to say that they may or may not be legalist. They may be what I would call a legalism light, meaning they really don't teach, many of them did, but some of them didn't teach work salvation. Some of the Pharisees followed Christ. But there is a tendency within that movement to the right, either a legalism light or just pure legalism. We're going to talk about that tonight, but hear me, if that's all you learn, you might as well go home now. Because you're reading the Bible in an antiquarian way, where it's an interesting artifact, but it doesn't deal with your life. I'll get to you, because in this room, we have more people going this way than this way. And would never see it and would never admit it. Except you'll understand in a minute when I define some of this. Some of this comes out of my pastoral experience for 28 years. I really put the hammer on this when I was analyzing this, thinking, now I understand people. This group, I cannot get to do something. I don't have this group in the church, and I don't have that group. I have these two groups. And neither one of these groups I can get to do anything. You know what did I preach pretty strong this morning? Only to have people go home and stay home and do nothing. By the way, I can't get either group to obey. And there's a reason why I can't. Meaning, change anything. Anything. Mark 7. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashing hands, they found fault. And by the way, this isn't what your mother tells you before supper, wash your hands. This is ritual they developed because God knows we wouldn't want to be polluted by those pagans. So they took separation. Look up here. They took separation. Step, 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 and step. In the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, this was the number one problem in the evangelical world. Today, it's just a small sliver of fundamentalism. They just keep adding to the Bible, to the place where it's like, good grief, how many more rules can you have that are not mentioned in the Scripture, nor derived from Scripture? We continue. Mark, then, and Jesus says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the what? Tradition of the elders. And when they were come from the market, the agora, see, the markets where you might rub shoulders with pagans, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. Please look at me. Go to any church that's a fundamental Baptist church, and there are, and I will not mention any names tonight, that talk about standards every day and preach a sermon on the fruit of the Spirit. And people will be doing this. Because they're not interested in the Bible. Talk about standards. You'll have guys waving Bibles, pulling handkerchiefs out. Preach it, brother! Preach it, brother! But you can never get people to obey the Scripture. Weird. See, how do you know this? Been around that foolishness far too much. We continue. I think we're at verse 9. He says, and he said to them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, I think Moses is the word of God. What do you all think? Honor thy father and thy mother. And then he adds two different passages, one of the Ten Commandments and then one of the implications from later. Whoso curseth his father or mother, let him die the death. By the way, that's pretty straightforward. If you don't honor your parents, which honor means what? How do you translate that from Hebrew into English? Honor always means take care of them. It's not a religious term. Honor widows that are widows indeed means you take care of. If you have a widowed mother and you don't take care of her, please don't come to this church. By the way, the Bible says if you don't do so, let that person die the death in the Old Testament. That's serious business. How would anybody not obey Scripture? You got to be kidding me. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or his mother, it is Corban, you know, yeah, mom and dad, I have money to take care of you, but I've dedicated it to God. It's a gift to God. Look up here. I still have the money, but I've dedicated that to God. Amy Simple McPherson left her husband and told her second husband, here's the deal. You either follow me or our marriage is done. And tens of thousands of American Christians accepted it. Catherine Coleman, another heretic, left her husband as a woman preacher, no problem, because she was following a higher Christianity. Remember, it all comes down to, if you love me, are you serious about this or is this a joke? We'll see. Continue. It is Corban, that is to say a gift. This last part is real difficult to translate. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. Basically this, if you could say, well, hey, I've dedicated this to the Lord. I've given this to the Lord. Now, you haven't given it to the Lord. Then you're off the hook. Verse 12, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. Deuteronomy chapter 22. By the way, this verse has nothing to do with the sermon tonight. I'm just going to use it to irritate you. Remember, if you don't get irritated tonight, you're really not going to learn anything. Because frankly, the legalists, the people that tend towards this, you don't listen. And the people that tend this direction towards liberalism light, you don't listen either. So let's just read this verse and see what you're going to do differently tomorrow. Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. We're going to talk about that after we pray. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this time. May you bless our time together. May this be a profitable night, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know how many times I've had the same conversation. By the way, I'm really not going after anybody. Really, the only thing I want to do tonight is do this. I want you to understand that biblical Christianity, guys, can you stand up without Bibles? Without Bibles? Grab my hands and grab the next guy to you and pull in both directions. Biblical Christianity is being pulled. If you get this in your brain, you'll go someplace. By the way, if you don't understand this, you'll never even understand what's going on. Biblical Christianity is always going to be pulled one way or another. It's just back, and now I can pull these guys. What are you guys doing? It's just always being pulled. That's the nature of what happens. Thank you, gentlemen. I was in a conversation, and actually this is 50 conversations. I was in a conversation in the Philippines about a particular subject. The moment the subject came up, do you ever been around somebody when things get tense? Person's mad. I mean furious. It became strained. It became difficult. And the particular individual kept talking about Dr. So-and-so. Every time I said something, Dr. So-and-so came up. And I looked at the person and I said, what does Dr. So-and-so have to do with the Bible? They did not realize their entire Christianity was dominated by the tradition of the elders. And whatever Dr. So-and-so said, that was what you believed. I was at Hiles Anderson College in First Baptist Church of Hammond when Jackie Boy Hiles on a Sunday morning, listen to me, let's see if this even bothers some of you. This is not maybe. Dr. Wayne Van Gelderen and two other people, Ed Nelson, went after Jackie Boy on this one in a big way. Jackie Boy Hiles said in a sermon that Jesus was eternally human. And I'm thinking, isn't there this thing called, are you ready? The incarnation, when God became. But by the way, if Jackie Boy said that on Sunday night, on Monday morning at the college, you either believe that or you were gone. What do you call that? Christianity? Answer the question. You see, folks, but here's the problem. When you're in that environment and everything is the tradition of the elders, you don't even know you're not listening to the Bible. You're not. I can tell the background you came from by how well you digest Scripture. Because your tradition on one side or the other, that's all you hear. Now, we're going to look at this chart, and we'll come back to the Deuteronomy stuff if we might. I'm talking tonight about mega systems and issues. What do I mean by this? I want you to understand that there's more at play than a verse. When I read Deuteronomy 22:5, if your name is Stacy, that immediately bothers you, and I'm not picking on you, Stacy, because I know where you came from. So her background is Southern. And Southern people preach on pants on women once every other day. Now, they might not today. I don't know if they still do. They used to. My point is, you know where that's coming from. If you come from certain other areas, they never even heard this verse preached on. I'm not interested in the verse. What I'm interested in is you to understand there are big things at play. And when you deal with things, oftentimes you're not dealing with the Bible. You're dealing with this mega system or this mega issue it's very hard to get at. In your notes, we're going to begin in the center, biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is this, 1 John 4:19, which is, read it with me. We love him. Read it with me. We love him. Folks, Christianity starts not with you, not with you chasing God. It starts with God loving you, and because of his love, you now love him. John 14:15, say it with me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Pretty straightforward, folks. Biblical Christianity starts with the love of God for us to the place where we come to faith in Christ and our love for him. Then it reciprocates in we keep his commandments. 1 John 5, verse 3. Ready? Say it with me. For this is the love of God, that we and his commandments are not. Better way of translating that or just as good is the word burdensome. It's the Greek word for burden. But grievous is okay. What is it saying, folks? It's saying this. How do you know what Christianity is? Christianity is a, look up here, is a love affair with the Father and his Son. My friend, but the love affair starts with God, comes to us. It isn't about Christianity being this burden where you feel burdened down. Oh, no, no, no. It's the love of God. It's our love for Him, which then out of that flows keeping His commandments. Look at me. But you want to. I don't have to come over to Duncan and say, well, maybe drunken Duncan, I'm sorry, but I don't have to come over to Duncan and say, Duncan, you need to go to church. I think that's what Christians will do. Look at me. It's what we want to do. It's what we like to do. And church is not a location, it's people. The last verse, of course, is in Romans 8, verse 4. It's the same thing. Read it with me, please. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's Christianity. That's biblical Christianity. Skip down a few little blanks. I have nothing to write in there. And understand this, friend. Biblical Christianity is going to be attacked from what? Both sides. I can already tell you where you're in the right spot. You're going to be shot from both directions. These guys over here that are moving to the liberal direction, well, I think I have this in your notes, but we'll come to it in a minute. They're going to be shooting you. They're going to be, look, this group is going to call you a legalist every single day. In this area, in this school, many of our young people come here and they say we're legalist. And actually, all I do is I believe kids that are saved ought to obey Scripture. Wow. Shocking. I believe that Christians that say they're saved ought not to get drunk. What about you? I believe they ought not to hit on teenage girls when they're adults. How about you? I asked you a question. How about you? You know, this group calls me a legalist. Now, the funny part is, if you go to one of these churches, they call you a liberal. Do you not know this? Because you don't have enough standards. They walk into a place. I remember a woman from Biblical Baptist walk in here one time. We sang the doxology. She said, that's what Catholics do. I looked at her like, giving praise to God is Catholic? I didn't know that. Because her mind was so twisted, Christianity became the length of the dress. Oh, by the way, the woman that came here didn't have a problem divorcing her husband. But bless God, you better not wear the wrong length dress. Because this group says I'm a liberal, and this group says I'm a legalist, and actually, biblical Christianity is pretty simple. We love Him because He... If you love me, God says, keep my commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not a burden. They're not, oh, how am I going to do this? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, gentlemen, if you'll stand up again, I want you to look at the top. You understand the five categories, yes or no? Now, I want you to understand when you have grab my hands or grab hands again, gentlemen. When we look at this, and I'm going to look at it from your perspective, okay? So looking at it from your perspective, legalists are on this side. I don't know what that guy is with the tie. in our kind of churches, you're not going to have too many pure legalists. But I will say this, you have to be careful because things move that way. What I mean by pure legalists that teach work salvation. On the other side, you're not going to have too many pure liberals, though you might have people moving that direction. Because things are always moving back and forth. This is the way they are, unless you got somebody like me that's big and heavy and you just can't move me very easily. Thank you, gentlemen. In your notes, we're going to deal we'll deal first with this group here. So I'm not going to deal with Noel, liberalism. I'm not really going to deal with Brian, legalism, in the pure states. Other than this, in a moment, we're going to talk about specific groups because this group can move to this group. This group can move to this group. It is possible. In your notes. Under liberalism light, that is my son-in-law. Scary, isn't it? Liberalism light, I have it in your notes. When you ask the question, if you love me, they can never say, keep my commandments. How do I know this? I can tell you 50 preachers that preach on television and preach on radio with the exception of John MacArthur, the guy down at Moody Church, most of them can never get around to saying, you need to obey God. This is what they say. If you love me, really love me. And this is when you go to a church, CCC. By the way, I'll be specific because this was sung at CCC in the last month. You know the church in Zion. And they sang a song. This is not religion. This is not your opinion. This is a fact. Where they sang a song that said, Jesus is in love with you. Ooh, that's creepy. What have we become? Well, when the whole world revolves around you, that's where we come. It's no longer a holy God that we're amazed at his love. Now Jesus is literally my boyfriend and my magic amulet. Wow. This group, if you skip the verses to the next category, you cannot get this group to obey, period. Every time one of these people show up at our church, look up here, a liberalism light, they just, the whole idea of obedience, they don't get it. If you've grown up in that background and the Bible says do something, it's just like, I remember I had a family that visited here, who it's been 15 years ago. I preached a sermon on growth and grace. By the way, you better ask yourself these questions. Why you don't grow? Why you don't change? I preached a sermon on growth in grace. The man met me at the back doors the last time they came to this church. It wasn't even mean. It was on growing. But grow in grace and in the knowledge. You know, verses like in the Bible. The man walked back there and looked at me. He shook out his hand and he said, I'm saved. And I mean, look at him like, I didn't preach on salvation. I preached on growth. But obedience never comes. This group, you can never get them to obey. Next. This group, and we're just going to stick with liberalism light, has no problem minimizing, they have no problem minimizing or eliminating Scripture. They never have that problem. They have 1,000 reasons why the Bible does not apply to them. They have no problem minimizing or eliminating Scripture. There is plenty of name-calling. Now, everyone look at me. If you go to one of these churches, and they're all over this area, on the whole, this is what dominates American Christianity since the 80s. Some form of, and I'm not even trying to be pejorative, I don't care if you call it red. It's a group that they constantly scream about the middle group, and they call us legalist. It's just constant. How do I know this? Because I get kids in Bible from other churches, and they have heard that we're legalist here. I'm not sure what they mean by legalist. We expect you to obey the Scripture. Yes, we do. So there is lots of name-calling. No problem with minimizing the Scripture, eliminating the Scripture, but lots of name-calling. You're a legalist. That's what you are. And you know what? I think I messed up on the one. We'll get to that in a moment. Next, in your notes, there is also a constant seduction. And what's the seduction? Aaron, stand up. Seduction is this. You're in a church like Lake County Baptist, grab my hand, and you run into these people, and you hang out with them. We have people in our church that are boring, that have never had an interesting thought in the last 20 years I've been here. People come here and see you. They don't want to be like you. You hang out with one of these people, they drink, they cuss, they tell off-color jokes, pull me. And the next thing you know, they're pulling you. Because they come here, and by the way, you do know that people watch you. They know who you are. They don't want to be that kind of Christian. This kind of Christian seems to be interesting. So the danger is this person is constantly saying we're legalist, and they're constantly seducing some of us this direction. Thank you, Aaron. Let's go to the other side, please. And I have mixed up a couple of these, so that'll be all right. On the legalism side, that's Mr. Scott. Again, I'm not going to deal with the pure legalist yet. On the legalist side, this is what they say. If you keep my commandments enough, then in some fashion, I will love you more. And friends, this is the basis of much of fundamentalism. What I grew up in the Hiles environment, and I think it was pretty pervasive for a long time, is they have you in a trap. Scott, if you'll stand up. And the trap is this. It's the word, look at me, the word enough. By the way, Josh, I believe you ought to tithe. I believe you and your wife ought to give. I believe you ought to serve. I think you ought to be in church. But I don't believe you ought to be in church five nights a week. I don't think there's any reason in being in church five nights a week. Are you all listening? Do you know why? The Bible. This group here, it's always enough. Your problem is you're not doing enough. You're not going enough, working enough, praying. Every sermon is enough sermons. You don't give enough, go enough, pray enough, fast enough, have faith. Everything is enough. And it's constantly, someday, somehow, God's going to love me if I can just do whatever it is, enough. That's the legalism light. I'm not accusing these people of teaching work salvation. They don't exactly teach work salvation, but it's constantly enough. So I remember I had a lady, thank you, brother. She walked back there on the back steps. This is many, many, many years ago. She walked back there. She had grown up in one of these kind of churches. Her life was a disaster. Her husband was cheating on her. Living a separate life. She was kind of a little messed up in the head. She said, Pastor, what should I do? What should I do? My husband doesn't want me showing up at church. And I said, you have to obey God. I know that's a shocking thing. Have you ever heard anybody, the audacity to say you ought to obey God? I said, ma'am, you must obey God rather than man. You must gather with God's people. But you don't have to be in church four times a week. You say, but we have service. Yes, we do. We have them for your benefit, not for my benefit. And I think if you come to Sunday school, you're going to get something different than you get in Sunday morning, and something different than you get Sunday night, and something different you get Wednesday night. That's because I try to prepare for you, not to get you here. I said, here's what you need to do. You need to come to church and make a decision. I think minimum you need to be here twice. Make a decision. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, maybe Sunday morning, Sunday night. I said, I would recommend, if it was my druthers, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. Get something in the middle of the week, get something in the beginning of the week. That so discombobulated this woman that her whole Christianity was doing enough. That was the last week I saw her. You know who she is. I don't remember her name. I know one of her sons committed suicide. Just a disaster of a woman. She could not think except the only way God's going to love me if I just do more and more. I went to my mother-in-law's house one time. She doesn't go to that church anymore, thank God. It doesn't exist. She had a schedule. Look at me in the eyes. They had a service at their church every day of the week except Monday night. I'm thinking, what in the world do you do in church? Can't go enough. Can't do enough. Let's continue. Down here at the bottom, under the text, I have said, you can't get this group. Now, you have to be really listening for this one. Look up here, folks. The liberalism group, this guy, well, that is not in the right place. This guy, you can't get him to obey. You can't get this one. Are you listening? To obey Scripture. Oh, they'll obey. What will they obey? Their traditions. They'll obey Dr. So-and-so. This one here just doesn't obey because he doesn't think obedience has anything to do with Christianity. This one here will obey. They will do the weirdest things on earth. Man, if the pastor preaches on, you better not have, what do they call it, the Gaelic cross in your house. You know what, I can't even describe a Gaelic cross. I literally heard a Gaelic cross was of the devil. Fred Moritz heard it recently from the idiot from Texas, Bob Gray. A Gaelic cross predates Bob Gray by about 1,500, 1,600 years. But those people, oh, none of that, that's of the devil. But if you say, if you read any verse in the Bible, they look at you like, because they cannot figure out how to obey the Scripture. That's what I say in your notes. They can't get this group to obey Scripture. No problem with their tradition. Name calling. This group here is going to call us names. Now remember, liberalism light, they're going to call us legalists. Here's a Tim, have you not experienced this here? This group here calls us what? Liberals. That bizarre person from Dan's church that Christy had the privilege of teaching for 3 days. He thought every, in his, and you know, you remember the person, Christy? The little kid, it's been 3 or 4 years ago, from Dan's church. The mother was out to lunch someplace, circling, you know, on Mars or something. And everybody, whoo, everybody was a liberal. Really? Because that's, by the way, if you don't do what, look at me, if you don't do what they do, you're a liberal. That's it. There's no other possibility. Now, there's also a constant seduction. You say, what do you mean by constant seduction? Step up here. You got to hear me. For some people, this is appealing, and you're pulled. Especially if you grew up not, if you're not a person that does much thinking, and your wife will go along with you guys, you're a guy that can get pulled in this direction. Next thing you know, you're going to a church, and the pastor says women aren't supposed to wear makeup. And they say, I guess not. I even heard one pastor say women aren't supposed to wear deodorant. I'm like, well, I'm thankful I don't go to that church. You know, no perfumes. I'm like, really? I would wonder, where would that be in the... Have you ever read Song of Solomon? It's all about smells. And I'm like, now, I want you two gentlemen to stand up, if you would, please. Now, this is not any place in your notes. You guys, move up here. If you're from the liberalism side, here, there is a constant move to this direction. And if you don't believe it, I'm going to name some things. Gay marriage. Don't kid yourself. Churches in this position are scrambling to figure out how to justify from the Bible gay marriage. They are scrambling. When a Pastor Malone was in our missions conference, Pastor Malone was at Trinity. He was in a conference for doctoral students. It was a seminar, and he said there was a lesbian in the seminar. They were from all over the place, and he said all of them were looking for a way to justify gay behavior. By the way, you don't get that in biblical Christianity. You also have this. How about divorce and remarriage? If you go to one of these churches, like 9th Street up here, whatever that little catastrophe is, I know personally of a woman that was married 4 times going to that church, and I believe 3 of the marriages were while she was going to that church to other people in that church. But hey, we're all about grace. It's just grace. Do you understand? This is just movement further and further away from Scripture. There is no amount of compromise they can do. On this side, now I have personal experience over here with both Baptist, let's be specific, Pentecostal holiness of the old variety. You see, my dad's side of the family had Pentecostal holiness. Back in the 60s, you could see a Pentecostal holiness coming from a mile away. Number one, the women never cut their hair. Number two, the women definitely didn't wear makeup or jewelry. And number three, the women wore long dresses that were one color. And let me ask you a question. And this is where it gets real sticky. Remember, this tends to move? It became real difficult to know, were they just legalist in a light sense, believing all these standards that the Bible doesn't teach? Or were they true legalist? My home pastor worked around a teacher, and his statement was this, and she was one of the Pentecostal holiness. He said, the only Christianity this woman has is in the bun on her head. She never cut her hair, and she kept up in a bun. Have you met those kind before? There was no other Christianity. There was nothing in her heart. It was just, I don't cut my hair. And I wear my hair in a bun. And I am spiritual. Now, here's what I want you to know. Stand up here. Guys, grab a hold of me. Here's the problem, folks. We're being pulled. In this room, I'd say more this direction. Because some of us, we really can't obey anything. there's a group. This is pretty appealing because you got an answer for everything. Listen, Marquette Manor Baptist Church, Downers Grove, Dr. Van, now he's been gone for years. His son's across the border. If your daughter goes to their little school, your daughter is not allowed, are you listening, to wear pants. Okay. By the way, if you work at Six Flags, do you have a dress code at Six Flags, Jericho? Do you get to pray with them and say, I don't agree with the dress code? Jericho? They just tell you, here's the dress code. If you don't like it, you're gone. Yes? Okay. I don't care about that. By the way, they now intrude. I'm being specific because this isn't your religion. This is real. This movement has moved so far that if your daughter goes to that school, and some of our missionary kids have, the girls are not allowed to wear pajamas to bed. Pajamas, period, or shorts. They have to wear a long granny gown right out of the 1800s. Now, I'm going to ask you, listen to me, why would any pastor on earth want to know what young ladies wear to bed? Are we becoming a bunch of perverts? The answer is, why do they do this? Because listen, folks, movements move. Here's the problem. After a while, it's hard to know which of these this group is because it moves more and more. And by the way, what if I confronted Wayne Van Gelderen Jr. with this stupidness? Oh my goodness, I would have rage. I would be written off. I'm of the devil. All right, thank you, gentlemen. Deuteronomy 22. How does Deuteronomy 22 fit in this? And then we'll get to the notes. I promise. May I ask you a question? Is this helping you? Is this helping you understand where things are? When it comes to faith, works, salvation, friends, this is where the action is. It's pretty straightforward. Do you know what I'm looking for in your life? I'm looking for people, young and old, to actually, when I preach the scripture, to obey. Is that asking too much? But I got one group I can't get interested in scripture because nothing moves them. They just keep doing what they do. And this group over here, if you're not talking about standards and weird stuff, I mean, I remember the year 2000 when the pastor, so-called at Biblical Baptist, did the big thing about buying all these machines and all this food because there was going to be this crisis. Do you not remember this foolishness? And all the people in those churches bought all this stuff because the world was going to end. I remember being right down in the basement with Joyce Losey, her saying, well, if the world ends, the world ends. And we prayed that night, and guess what? What happened that night? Nothing. Then the pastor has to come back the next week, and what does he say about all that junk he sold you? Well, you don't ask questions. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. Look up here, and I'm going to move to notes. If you come from this background, you know what this verse means? Look me in the eyes, males. This verse means nothing. Nothing. If you come from this background, Lord only knows what it means. I've seen lists of what women have to do, talking about how many buttons they have to have, and they can't have buttons on the front of their dress, and I'm like, because there's no end of them adding to the scripture. For some of you, there's no end of you eliminating the scripture. You say, what does the verse mean? Do I really need to talk to you about what this? Look up here. Do I need to talk to you about this? Have you not heard of Caitlyn Jenner? Do we need to have the discussion? Yes or no? I think it's pretty clear. Males need to look like, and women need to look like, and we ought not to be. Let's look in your notes. Mega systems. Deuteronomy 4 says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Deuteronomy 12:32, what things soever I command you, observe to do it, that thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. Christians, you better get serious about obeying God. Not adding to Scripture, but not always figuring out a reason why you don't obey. So when Pastor Warren preaches on forgiveness, and you're holding on to your bitterness like we do, the reason you do that is because Scripture doesn't mean anything. They're not sorry. I didn't ask you if they were sorry. You need to get, this group needs to start obeying, and this group needs to start obeying Scripture. Seems to be straightforward to me. Deuteronomy 17:20 talks about the king, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. Joshua 1:7, Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. My friend, biblical Christianity is biblical Christianity. There's pull to the liberal side. There's pull to the legalistic side. We must stand on truth. We must know the truth. We must obey the truth from the love of God. Mark chapter 7 deals with what could be either, it's either legalism light or legalism, or it could be hard to tell. Mark 7 is difficult to know all these traditions, whether they're biblical or not biblical. Fawn and Jim, you have been to Romania. Is that correct? In Romania, do the Baptist women wear jewelry? No. Do they wear makeup? No. Or very, very little. So when you go there, what do you do? You don't wear jewelry and you don't wear much makeup. Are they legalists? No, that's just part of their tradition. That's how they see themselves as separate from the world. Do I think it, by the way, I don't think we have a problem with that here, but I've been in churches where women look like they shouldn't. On the other hand, which is worse, looking that way or looking like Little House on the Prairie? I'm from the early 1800s. We go both directions. Well, let's go down to legalism light. Again, this could move to legalism. Legalism light, how do we know what it is? Number one, legalism light is known for its constant fault finding. You pretty much know you're in this camp if you're always looking at other Christians trying to find fault. Mark, and by the way, I'm looking at principles, not the specifics of the Pharisees. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say with unwashing hands, they found fault. Then the Pharisees and scribes said, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders?" Constant fault finding in your notes. What do we find? Constant fault finding of others. Next, fault finding of those closest to them. Fault finding of those closest to them. This means other fundamentalists become the enemy. Real or true liberals are totally unknown. Folks, if you're around these people here, and I was in the Philippines. One of the big pastors there, he showed up at my Bible class, and I happened to be teaching on Deuteronomy 22:5. What he wanted me was to spend 30 minutes defending what he believed. What did he believe? Women were not to wear open-toed shoes. Now, Lois, I love you, so this is not, I don't love your husband, but I love you. I saw your reaction. But you understand, your reaction is not their reaction, because their reaction is, they see a woman in open-toed shoes, that means something of the devil. Your reaction's not biblical, neither is theirs. The Scripture is biblical. We all have to get to the Word of God. He wanted me to defend what he taught. And I remember saying in the class, oh, this is the last time I ever talked to this guy. I said, you do realize in the ancient world, men didn't wear pants. Does that mean men need to go back to wearing those long robes? And if I ever see Frenchie's legs one more time, I'm going to die. By the way, he about had a heart attack. Because for him, this verse is easy. Bless God, women get out of breeches. And then you meet people from India, and the women are obviously feminine. They're obviously women. And they got, I don't know what they're called. My wife has one of them, and they're long flowing things. And They have long flowing pants. I don't know what they are, but they're pretty sure they're women. My friend, the Bible doesn't fit your opinions. The Bible applies to all of us. Fault finding. It's always fault finding. Stand up here. Let me just say one other thing. This fault finding can come from both sides. This group here is primarily going to find fault with us because we're compromising. Look at me. You guys stand up. They have never met a liberal in their life. They don't know what a liberal is. They really don't know this group. We're the enemy. You understand? We're the enemy because we try to obey the scripture, and that irritates them because they have 400 rules of what a woman has to wear. I want to say one more thing about women's dress. Ladies and men, please listen. I'll tell you what changed my view of this whole issue. If you go to a redneck Baptist church, the males look exactly like every other male. The burden is only on... That is straight from hell, and it sounds a lot like Islam. Do I think women ought to be godly? Yes. But this group here, I'm a liberal. Hold it. But if you're this guy, you don't think there's anybody a legalist. We're the Bible. And you never met a liberal. This is the weirdest thing in the world. The liberals become Bible believers. Thank you. Have a seat, gentlemen. I'm going to have to finish this. There is constant fault finding. Fault finding of those closest to them. This means fundamentalists become the enemy. Real or true liberals are totally unknown. Next, never find fault with themselves. Oh no, you're never going to hear one of those people say, man, I am very much of a nitpicker. So you never hear about, but let us examine ourselves, examine yourself. You don't get that in those environments. Remember, as I say in your notes, remember they can't obey what? Scripture. So they don't ever get to the scripture. It's they look over at you and they're pick, 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 pick. But there's one group they never pick on. Look here. It's the group that God wants Ron to pick on. Who does God want Ron to pick on? Ron. The person you're supposed to be examining is you. But when you're in a legalism group, it's always them people. And I'm using proper, improper English. Next. Absolutely never find fault or question Dr. So-and-so. And you fill in the blank for whoever that Dr. So-and-so is. Whether it was Bill Gothard, Jackie Boy Hiles, or all of the crew of these people. It is unbelievable. Jenny and I had a best friend in Bible college. I got to the place where Jenny and I knew we couldn't talk to these people because if you didn't say Bill Gothard, they didn't care. Yes, good friends of mine. Went all the way through Bible college with him. Whew. Next, they never question their assumptions or the mega system. They just never question it. They can't even see it. So legalism light, I'm not going to read those verses. Legalism light is known for its constant fault finding. Number two, legalism light, and the reason we're dealing with this is in the text, is known for its ever-growing extra-biblical lists. Its ever-growing extra-biblical list. Three different times in this text, we hear the same phrase. Look at Mark 7, verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be. 7, verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. 7, verse 13. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things ye do. Legalism light is known for its fault finding. It's known for its ever-growing extra-biblical list. And please look at me. If you go to one of these environments, or you have family there, you don't have to depend on Pastor Warren's thinking. The texts talk about it. It just keeps going. And when you get around these people, it just never ends. It's like, here's the standard, no, here's the standard, no, here's the standard, no, here. And after a while, it's like, what, is Christianity about a, is it about a relationship with Christ? Or is it just about this list that you can't even keep up with? Well, that's legalism. And by the way, it gets hard to know, is it legalism light or is it moved to true legalism? I think that's one of the problems. Number three, legalism light is known for its non-biblical or anti-biblical foundation. In the sources where I came from, the places I've come, it was Dr. So-and-so. Please look at me. I must have heard 10,000 times when I was in Bible college, Dr. So-and-so. And after a while, it's like, what does Dr. So-and-so have to do with the Bible? Because that was the authority. Folks, you're going to find we have four basic authorities. Under the verses, I'll give you the four authorities. I wish I had, and I have a lot of stuff written that we're not going to talk about. You basically have four sources of authority, the foundation, whatever term you want to use. You have Scripture. But the problem is most people don't know too much Scripture, so that never really works. You have reason. You find a lot of that in liberal groups and also Jehovah's Witnesses, stuff of that nature, where they say, that doesn't make sense to me. Reason is their authority. Number three is experience or emotions. You find a lot of that in charismaticism, where they simply say, this is what I've experienced. And of course, in legalism light, it tends to be tradition. Tradition. And if you look back up at the text, at the highlighted parts only, it says the tradition of the elders, which they have received to hold, the tradition of the elders, the commandments of men, traditions of men. In verse 10, it says, for Moses said, but ye say. And then in verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. Everyone look at me. I don't have time to say anything tonight. If you want to know what I want you to be, Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Just the question. Look at me. Out of your heart, whatever the subject, makes no difference what the question is, for what saith the Scripture? I'm not interested in Ron's opinion or your opinion. I'm not interested in that you never obey Scripture or that you have a list 500 miles long. What saith the Scripture? That's what makes a Bible-believing Christian. And if the Scripture doesn't speak to it or, by good and necessary reasons, imply it, then we're not interested in it. And I'm not interested in chasing down how many buttons a woman can wear on her dress. Or whether, no joke, I saw it in the thing, I always show it to Tim, where women that came to this Christian camp cannot wear pockets on the front of her dress. She can, or is it the front or the back? And I'm thinking, who would even notice? Do you look at women and find out, do you have pockets on the front? Really? You say, why? Look at me, because this movement keeps moving which direction? And this movement keeps moving that direction. So, you say, what does legalism and legalism light look like? It's known for its constant fault finding. It's known for its ever-growing extra-biblical list. It is known for its non-biblical, anti-biblical foundation. And worst of all, legalism light is known for its flippant disobedience. Its flippant disobedience of and disregard for Scripture. It is unbelievable to me. Let's bring this home to roost. Dr. Moritz got online and went to one of these little redneck Bible colleges. He's a braver man than me. I would shoot somebody myself probably. He went and listened to one of these guys talk about the King James Version, and he was quoting that great biblical scholar Gail Riplinger. Well, you got several problems. Number one, Sister Gail has no biblical education. She reads neither Greek nor Hebrew, nor she ever had a course in theology. Number two, she's a woman preacher. Number three, she has been divorced twice and married three times. But Bob Gray from Texas has her as one of their adjunct faculty because she agrees with him. Look up here. This group doesn't care anything about Scripture. It cares only about tradition. Look at me, tradition. This group over here, they don't care anything about Scripture either. They just care about grace. Oh, I would like to see a church, hey, where the Scripture matters, wouldn't you? Where you can't just simply say, well, I know what the Bible says, but let's read the verses and we're done. He answered and said to them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching the commandments of men. For can you imagine laying aside the commandment of God? You hold the tradition of men. Verse 9, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say unto his father or mother, it is Corban. Verse 12, and you suffer him or you allow him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Look at me in the eyes and we're done. My friend, I can tell you on both sides, I know where you're going to be because the Scripture means nothing. What's the problem with divorce? Gail Ripplinger agrees with me. What's the problem? It is like, does nobody care about the Bible? It's all Dr. So-and-so, or it's all, I'm free. No, we love him. If you love me, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievousome. They're not a burden. That's Christianity. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this